Ojida dina chigna, da dini dina kula yon, ojida kiwanga chigo yon, jigo, dole soba dina yon yuari, dan kiwaka chuzi, chirum tamu, tarishambana, da chirum rafadan tamu nikinani, tamu di, tarishambana, shini toba, sanjava di, sartubjin sam temba manos, nati taral habis, chirum taro ririla, jigda chirum rafadan tamu ririla, na tambo tsinonga chu, dini temba toba chu, The Tarchen by Juda, Kashiga, some song on Bivari. The Jis on the Zuna, Ju Timber Tobadon, Ju Tarchen by Niga, Sir Ju Long of the Udin, Sir Kamia Indu, Dagundi, Shiji Kuma Indu, Ririla Timber Tobadon, Tarchen Botsi, Uda Sosurin Jokser D, and then the Padin Chujin, the Congo Lama, the Yonjin Gabbard, Yonjin Gabbard with Salam Nams on the Shuarcha was. Yonjin Gavalo Rizajidi, the Kumum Gombago, and the Ajar Mujizi, you are what that TV, that Ajar the Kokomaji, you are Ajar Mujiko, Komachi, Yonza, Yon Gavalo Riz, and the Yonjin Galus, and you are it. Tinamjang, the Naji, Tambu, Jenny Tinomatoba, Tinny Timbatoba, Tinny Tarshimba. Sinda would you some songs of your in the Shivarisha was. Then the Nadia on a Timba Toba on Tarjambuzi, Sosurjiba Dinu, the Conde Kawa Yuarisena, Yonjin Galizan Javadi, Dinu Kidurambuji Gombasi, Kiduku Daji Dijanavina Dindaji Udini. Dion Dijini Penji, those on Chujingo servers on water, Goja di Tonju Deli, Yen Nayon, Yen Tonsi Jidin Dunayon, to Nuba Mambuji Udini.
We have mentioned the other day that actually when we examine the assertion around the self-generation stage, right, and as we said before, there is difference in saying that one has the genuine generation stage, that one has stability on generation stage, and that one has consummated that. And it's not always very clear where we posit the limit of each one of those stages, and therefore a debate arises on this point. So one scholar says, when the subtle generation stage is consummated, this is the time when calm abiding is obtained. So Nawam Peldon replies to that, but this does not teach the full limit of new obtainment, because by training in that way one obtains stability on each of the coarse and subtle generation stages. The mode of positing their individual measure of consummation should be known from the presentation of grounds and paths of our teacher Yangchen Gawa Lodro. Actually, Yangchen Gawa Lodro has the text by Yangchen Gawa Lodro has been published by the Tibetan Library of Works and Archives. It's available in English. You can have a look at that. And Yangchen Gawa Lodro was actually considered to be one of the later incarnations of Ajahn Rinpoche. Now, so really the point is that we have three levels on that. We have the fully qualified one, we have the stable one, we have the consummated one. And it says, the explanation of each measure of consummating the obtainment of stability are formulated in accordance with Penchen Chögyen, clear presentation of Kedro Rinpoche's intention. But still, there is some basis of analysis. So, first of all, you have the statements by Yangchen Gawa Lodro. Then after that, we have Penchen Chögyen's presentation, and you also have the presentation of Kedro Rinpoche's on this point. Nevertheless, the point is not 100% clear, and this is why the author says, still there is some base for analysis. Why? Because in the mantric stages, we have the statement that states, positing that one consummates the generation stage when such yoga has become stable is the system of the two traditions of Guhyasamaja. And the Illuminating Lam states that beginner's concentration is the yoga of the first stage, and abiding in that is attaining stability in that or the consummation of that. So not very clear distinction between stability and consummation.
Oggi dati noi in Bayendu ci danzi da tonni sono ati in Bayendu i gli certo gin santem ba mesene da dai che ni certo to ba sina tambu ci non ando to ba ci tini temba to ba ci oggi tini tarci ba ci da yonje galu sono ada
As I say, we have a point here because, first of all, we have three scholars such as Gawel Lodro, and then we have Kedru Rinpoche, and then we have Penchen Chögyen, who's saying actually there are three stages. You have to differentiate the three stages. You have the qualified calm abiding, you have stable calm abiding, you have consummated calm abiding. But the mantric stages say that stability and consummation are more or less the same, because it says beginner's concentration is the yoga of the first stage, and abiding in that is attaining stability in that, or the consummation. So we have this word, or. So it means either you call it stability or you call it consummation, is the same thing, it's on the same level. Now, also, we'll continue with that, the analysis of the array of the four commentaries. This is this combined work of Lama Tsongkhapa states just that, but except for these explanations, it does not appear in the terms stability and consummation. It does not appear that these two terms are clearly and individually explained. Now we continue with another debate, which is the debate that has to do with the function of the three types of concentration. We mentioned yesterday when we were giving a list of those things. So in this context, context, one says, it follows that there is no need for the three concentrations, such as the initial preparation, etc., to meditate on emptiness. So we mentioned yesterday that the three types of concentration is the initial preparation, the second one was supreme victory mandala, the third one was supreme victory activities. So it says here, it follows that there is no need for those three concentrations to meditate on emptiness, because apart from a few cases, such as training in primordial awareness or the special resolution subsumed within clear light, generally, in the context of the initial stage, the method of meditating on the appearance of the deity circle is explained as the main. So the one who debates here says all you need to your main practice is really to have the clear appearance of the deity. You don't need to do meditation on emptiness. But Nawam Peldon says there is no privation. You actually have to do both. Because in the context of the three concentrations, one must cultivate the clear, profound, non-dual yoga, determining the meaning of non-inherent existence through focusing on the deities as their focal object. So what he says here is that when we see at what is happening at the mind, we look at it from the point of view of two aspects. First of all, you see what appears to the mind, which true is the conventional aspect of the deities and the palace, but at the same time you have the ascertaining aspect of the mind, which is ascertaining the emptiness of inherent existence of those things. And in order to support this position, Nawam Peldon is quoting here the mantric stages, which states, the yoga entering just that state of selflessness of the mind possessing the aspect of the circle of the deities was explained by Peltre Dorje as the general function of the three concentrations. And this was the opinion of Yeshe Shab. So we have two scholars here agreeing that this is the general function of the three concentrations, that you do meditate on the selflessness of these appearances. Indeed, in the context of the first stage, one mainly meditates on the appearance of the circle of the deities, yet one trains in everything being like an illusion through including strong determination of the non-inherent existence of all dharmas. Then, having meditated on the circle of deities, one enters emptiness, which is the referent object of the discernment determining the meaning of non-inherent existence through focusing on the deities as the focal object. So you have the focal object, which is the deities, but at the same time you're ascertaining the emptiness of their inherent existence. Then also the profound, clear, non-dual yoga of the appearance of the held aspect, which is the supporting mandala and the supported deities, acts to meditate intermittently on the realization. We stop here with the text, and we have about half an hour for questions and answers.
Indian highly attended learned one. The aspect of the Manjala, essence of Manjala. Yangtze Gawa Lodro is the guru of the Zhangjiang, the Ngawa Chodin, who composed this text.
Pony Radenga, the Tengi Zuo, Tengi Zuo, the Joji, Pula Peduna, or Jambadurji, Ishijabuki, and Dunanga, Tengi Zuo, the Dandra, Tenishi, the Joji Loma, Dom Tomba, that Yarmuji, and Horoguchua, or that the Lomizuo, and by Yendu, the Raden Changa, the Kadam Galante, Mambo Yuari, the Radenga, Tengi Zuo, the Tengi.
please. Did you get it?
So the so this is Sandhu Chambe Doshi. This is the main deity of the main devotional object of Rating Monastery. So it's a broad it's a devotional object of Lama Disha, and then no Choji to them then one no. So then then it became devotional object from Dumpa. Then it, the Rating Monastery was predicted in by many say Katamba say the cases. So it has been there for devotional object.
In the generation stage, visualization of oneself as a deity, besides, is it okay or incorrect to visualize the size, the same size as his own body, sitting in the same place where one's body is? And, or does it have to be, you know, 4 finger widths maximum? And if it is 4 finger widths, where would it be in relation to one's body?
Well, so the question is that in the generation body, in the generation stage, when you do your self-generation as the deity, how big is the body of this self-generation? Is it right to be human size, or should it be 4 finger widths? And if it is the size of 4 finger widths, then where should it be in relation to our body? I obviously was saying, you know, the whole thing, because it's meditation, it happens in your mind. And therefore, you know, the whole thing is that to be clearer of what the size of your focal object is. If you have a focal object that is too big, then the mind will not, you know, we tend to scatter. If it is too small, the mind will not really be focusing on that. Otherwise, you know, we end up with this thing, you know, some people have big bodies, some people have smaller bodies, so sometimes the data would have to be bigger, sometimes the data would have to be smaller, and so on.
Right,
so the question is that really if we look at the text where gives a detailed description of the mandala, they are very the dimensions of the deities, their sizes are very clearly defined. The thing is that when you read those manuals where they give you a description of the mandala and they give those dimensions are put there for the purpose of facilitating the painting or the drawing of the mandala. So it has to be you know, slightly bigger so that you can actually depict all the different parts. But if you come to the point of shrinking everything into the size of a master, so that it can fit inside a mustard seed, you understand that these dimensions will have to be, you know, shrink, of course, into proportion, right?
I kind of thought that when you're doing that, like there's two types, you know, you have the one in the mustard seed, but then you have, if you're doing a regular daily practice, then you would follow the big dimensions and have it the size of
All right, so maybe is that we actually have two occasions. If you're just doing your ordinary practice, maybe as a beginner, before you shrink everything, maybe you can follow the dimensions as given in the description of the mandala. But when you get later on, at a later point, you shrink everything to the mustard seed. Rinpoche la chi xena tena la kabmi yo sares. Le tambo aina dinre tigle tramo me yo mares. Tigle tramo ma mipe kavla da zozo mandel da na la piche kare yo bade tse chundi tagda dena la jubna halam de sares. Tigle tramo kavla chung aina dile chung ru tana halam de sares.
Ori, ki da li tambo vi rongo ngita chi shua na ye. Rongo lo ngu sang lo tang di wo tang cher di wo di wang de si. Tini rinpi to di tenpo na tang yuwa nye na chari tang kuwa chi ingi warwa.
Now the main thing is this, if you're a beginner, you have to do something that will be easy to appear in your mind and will be easy to focus on that. So choose a side that is convenient. Later on, as you become more familiar, more intimate with the practice, you will have to start shrinking it in order to attain the necessary stability.
Four fingers, where would it be on one's body? You know, where would that be? Because you talked to the subtle generation, the upper and lower end of the central channel. On the gross generation stage, where would its location be?
Right, so the question is, again, that when we talk about the subtle generation stage, we talked about different locations, the upper and the lower opening of the channel, and this is where you put your mustard seed, the mandala. Now... But when you're still on the gross generation stage, when we talk about this size of the visualization, where exactly is it placed in the body? Rinpoche la de ngaronsu kerem tramu kavla yamena ngaronsu sa uma du di ki yamena ya ne yamena minche de na la tile tramu sha yoro es this sevor es yamena ya kerem trape kavla kerem rakpe kavla di ngaronsu di meyul kava sha yores supo na la ne min jawa de na la sha gores
ji jerem ga gavza rong rong ge lu di li king or gom ya wa ji di gom ge yua ri ma de ji jerem ga gavza ji na de tin de song yua ma ro wa tra tong ge gavza di da zo mi na lo de na ma re mu tin de wo di ja gom yin din
When you are still on the gross generation stage, all you do is you generate your body as the deity. You are not really too much concerned with the sizes and places. When you come into the subtle generation stage, this is where the size becomes important, and this is how you can shrink the mandala, and this is how you can place it in different parts of the body. And again, when we say that you have the whole mandala and the deities inside different places of the central channel, you have to think that my mind is undifferentiable from that. My mind is in there. Yes, please.
Is special insight an intellectual or conceptual apprehension of emptiness, or and therefore is there a distinction between special insight and the direct perception of emptiness, or are they the same thing? And if they are different things, would Rinpoche give some comment about their differences?
Right, so we mentioned the term special insight. So is this a conceptual or a perceptual realization of emptiness? Are they the same? Are they different, and if they differ in any way, could Rinpoche please comment on that? Rinpoche la lang tong seria di tomba ni ngosum tu tope lorwes yamena ngosum tu tope ha ngosum ma tope lorwes handeles lang tong lang tong
oh lang tong jin tong
mari mari lang tong
lang tong
lang tong
lang tong seria di tomba ni ngosum tu tope lorwes marwes
ori ni tomba ni ngosum tu tope lo yin gung hiwa yo marwa tomba ni ngosum tu tope lang tong ngo ri jiro ti yu yo ku ri di ti ju tomba she ni de she ni ge ka su ju dan do sa ye na ju she ni ti lo wa jong le ten ni she ni lang tong di mar ju de ten ni ga nam si na she ni lang tong ni ga nyam de de ga ji yuwa yin du ka su wo de wo di tomba ni tong ji zhi ta wa ka sa dum da wo ye na lang tong di ka bing yuwa ta jo be na jo lam la ja rang yuwa ro wa jo lam ge ka su ju da ru ni wa se go re ma da ru ma ni wa
Rinpoche was saying that when we talk about calm abiding, this is not necessarily the mind that perceptually comprehends emptiness. It could do it or it could not do it. Within the description of calm abiding, you definitely would have instances or types of mind that perceptually comprehend emptiness, right? So there are cases, they're both cases within this thing called calm abiding. If we look at the sutric presentation of how you develop along the path, it is said that first of all you will attain the stability of calm abiding, and after that you will start engaging in the investigation that will allow you to develop your special insight, right? And really when we talk about the level or the point in the path where you develop the special insight, you are on the path of preparation. That means you're below the path of seeing, right? You can continue further than that. 1 minute. Yana Bocella di
Ori di
Kumbani Ngunet Ngumet Topa Tok Zimba Tan Sardu Zimba Dinre Kamye Yoro Ha
Tandang Isu Adi Tau Jain Rung Mangi Vase Ji Di Nyerong Drajumba Nyerong Drajumba Ji Yen Shin Ji Nyerong Papa Yung 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 Papa Yung Di Papa Di Kumbani Ngung Sum Da Matawan Paklam Taba Miwa Yung Di Di La Tau Jain Tau Jor Ni Kumbani Ngung Sum Da Tau Di Ngi Yung 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 Vase Ji Di Yena Dongbo Ni Tau Jain Lam La Shin Ngi Ji Yena Tau Jain Tau Lam Tau Yung Lam Gu Kap Su Kumbani Tung Ji Zir Ji Taba Matawan Ngung Sum Da Nam Tau Di Nen Tau Lam Tau Gu Yung
Now we have we can make a distinction here between those who enter into the great vehicle from the beginning and those who have trained into the lesser vehicle prior to entering into the great vehicle. So, for example, it could be the case of a practitioner who have entered the lesser vehicle. They are either following the practice of a hero or a solitary realizer, and it is quite possible that they have come all the way up to the point of becoming an arya in the lesser vehicle before entering into the great vehicle. Right, so it could be the case that for that case of practitioners, they already have the perceptual realization of emptiness, and then they change vehicles and then they add in their practices. But if you're looking at the example of someone who has not previously trained on the lesser vehicle, someone from the beginning entered the great vehicle, then it would be the case that they don't have the perceptual realization of emptiness, because they enter the great vehicle, then they have to start with the path of accumulation, they have to go through the path of preparation, they develop special insight on the path of preparation, but they do not have the direct realization of emptiness. That will happen in the next path. So they're both cases.
Yes, please. Rinpoche, when one is meditating on the different deities, let's say in the system of Guhya Samaya, there's the five major Buddhas. And for a beginner, one keeps it simple, so one might want to concentrate on, let's say, the five or maybe just one. In the system, you know, as you go through the practice, you know, throughout the year,
does one visualize these deities, and then just by the process of the visualization, the winds go into this more, get more subtle or get more stable, and therefore you have a deeper calm abiding? And is that kind of like what the practice is? And then it helps you with more of a awareness of the deities?
If you don't mind, I would like to clarify, because you mentioned something in the beginning about, let's say, engaging in the practice of Guhya Samaja that includes 32 deities.
So in there's 32, and then there's like first a beginner. I'm talking about a beginner.
Yeah, and you say as a beginner, maybe you can only focus in one of the five Buddha families.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
No, yeah. Like there's... Let's keep the question simple.
Yes.
Let's say you're just meditating on Akshobhya. You know, would just that process bring the winds into the heart, for instance, and therefore they would be... Is that practice? I just want a more better understanding.
Right, so you're a beginner. You're just meditating on Akshobhya.
Yeah, yeah.
And you say that with time and with familiarity, would that cause the winds to be more subdued? Is this what you're asking?
Yeah.
And then?
And that creates more calm abiding. Is that how it works?
Okay. Calm abiding. All right. Rinpoche Lodi, later. Oh, all right. So, yeah, anyway, I don't need to repeat. The Letam Boa Michi Yimaina, Ta Koronso Gom Kyana, Ta Sangwa Dubeki Luk Pechawaina, Tena Lahlam in Jao Sun Chuso Sumioresa. Letam Boa Ina Tenso Kangalo Selta Missivares. Letam Boa Ina, Ta Pechana Michova Sange Michova Tena La Zo Simne, Tena La Gom Javiores. Tena La Gom Gyovienta, Ta tes nyamnyon sane khansam shi ne susu lung ki jodan tes gyuwa jone lung koran tes du dine ta khansam shi ne shine juwe ki jodan din reves rotsam shi na din reves
no ri ji da la mambu de ji lo yir de shi ma tham na ji da zu ya me ni ga yin nan da din da ji la mu wa ji ya yin khan da de zo mu de ni ren bi ji ten bu na だとて長くてね、でに、よ、ちょっとずつはもうると、てちごいわるわ。ちらどん、だ、すんじそにいわて。で、やいんこまやんじからせご。で、じ、だんこまでまさね。ち、え、とびじごじ、だじ、ちゃしまもじいわるわ。だぞ、たんぼ、え、やいんこごみやどん、だごみやて、ろくざんろくざんまとめんなよ。人備しゅつある、え、とんぐわじいんこいわる。
え、で、たしねじゅったんてなら、コロンソロンキジョタンタンしねじゅったんてにらではよるべさ。そこな。たこちるみじん、にロンなんとじん。おり、ラウンドにペスペクセ、ラウンド。おり、だろん。ロンなんでどせやでからせご。なんでどごぐいわりて、ちんどじゃねえな、え、じからせご。
たのので出会うがむなだかあよでこんたじゃん。ずぐだろじゃらそばよでじばんしずそかごいわるわ。かのせのでであちじたんゆでいわちじ。たじ、え、でにがかかじゅだじであまぞばじでたんちゃんらせせな。たこんどいだんてんらいんでに。たのらみかかじゅだざぐむかかに
Right. So let's look at two parts of your question. The first one really is has to do with what a beginner is focusing on when you start meditating on a system, which might include a number of deities. So again, we took the system of Guhya Samaja as being the example, the main example. So Rinpoche says, in the beginning, you start, you know, there's no way you can hold all these deities. You just focus on the main male deity with his consort. So you just have a couple of deities. You spend some time meditating on that. When you feel that you have gained some familiarity, when you feel that you have gained some stability, then you can start adding an extra deity, two extra deities, and so forth. So you start building up your visualization gradually. And in each one of those stages, you see, do I have stability? Do I see it clearly? Am I capable of adding more into my practice? So this is really how you move up in stages. Because we say, you know, that the first thing that you do is to meditate on the inestable mansion and the deities within that. But again, it's, you know, this is not an ordinary house you're meditating on, right? This mansion. Although it might have the, you know, it might be square and it might have four doors, there are so many descriptions of the way, you know, of the walls and the decoration and the height and the size of all that, that even that is not a simple job to do. So what you do as a beginner, gradually you build up your visualization. Now, as for the other part of what is happening with the winds as you, you know, progress along your path. Now, Rinpoche was saying, like, if let's look at the presentation of sutra, right? If you, your aim is to attain some stability of the mind, let alone calm abiding, you have to make sure that you cut off all external objects. So you don't allow your sense awareness to engage sounds and forms and taste and so forth. This is the presentation in Perfection Vehicle, and Rinpoche is saying that I think most probably this would be the case also in the three lower tantras. When we come into the case of the higher yoga tantra, and in particular when we come into the case of completion stage, we know that we have this unique presentation of wind and mind coming always together. So what that tells us is that wherever you would choose to place your mind to meditate upon, the winds, naturally, they will follow into this case, so into this location. So if in the case of completion stage, for example, you're focusing inside the central channel, the mind is focusing there, it means naturally, without having to put extra effort on it, the winds will also follow and they will be gathered inside.
At what point does one concentrate on emptiness?
All right, so as a beginner, at which point of your practice you would have emptiness as your main focus, or just because you, or just meditating, any occasion of meditating on emptiness?
Is meditating on the deities, my understanding is the text says one also meditates on emptiness. For a beginner, what does Rinpoche suggest?
All right, so the text says that as you are visualizing the form of the deity, at the same time you would have to be ascertaining the emptiness of that deity. How is a beginner going to do that? Rinpoche la dam ran din de shu gidus le tam bo ai na da chirdang ro zu di hlai ku sel da wi yores di nang yul res ya te kavla ne yul yores di te tomba ni sim be gi lo chi yores le tam bo ai na din re kantes gom kantes gya tu saresa shariyul dan ne yul di nika tomba ni dan hlai ku nika tola kantes gom kantes
ကျပ်တူဆရစ်အော်ရီဂျီဒါကရစကိုဂျီဒါမုပတေလာမုနီနမ္ဘာစင်ဂျီတင်ငီယာတီဂျီဒါလုချီယနာတင်ဒါကဂျီနမ်ဂျင်ဒါဝတီတင်ဒါကမူယာယီစီဂျီဝါယနာဂျီနမ်ရှင်နာတိုဇီကုံကုကုံကောလာလုလုချီကောဒါလုချီစနန်ဒါချီဝါချီယနာယီဂျင်ဂျီချီဝါချီကမူယန်ဒါဝတီတင်ဒါချီလာမုနီဒီတန်ကို Nambanda wundanda nzungu samna mua yishi yandang wanda jiwa yena nam shina ji lu chika yel da yel la sena ji dambu yinra wun mug yinra wundanda ji yin di tani samlu tanya nambanda wundanda ji ngi gugu yu samji ji yang ya di chunyanda wu kali gu rinbi yang gu yu saru dambu ni yang mayang shiga mandati.
Rinpoche says it might not be necessarily the case that a beginner will be able to do it straight away, from the very beginning, but this is the point of your practice, this is the point of your training. You trained yourself so that you will cause the appearance of your focal object, and this appearance would be the form of the deity, and you develop familiarity with that. The more you develop familiarity with that, it means that a part of your mind can start concentrating on the emptiness of this particular appearance. So right from the beginning, you will train yourself to say, whatever will appear to me, I will hold that to be empty of inherent existence. Right? So you train your mind from the beginning. Not only do you have the basis of which is the focal object, but also you train yourself to see the emptiness of that. And with familiarity, with time, it will become easier to develop the realization. In the beginning, you just say to yourself, whatever appears, I will hold it to be empty. One last question, yes.
I'm stuck on size.
Size is important.
So, if one is meditating as oneself as the deity, and shrinks oneself to 4 inches, then the sesame seed aspect, which when you're meditating on the channels within the body, then the seed syllable and depending on what you're meditating on, the mantra or the body mandala within shrinks to the size of the sesame seed.
Mustard.
Which, I mean, a mustard seed.
Slightly smaller.
And then that one is brought to either some chakra within the body. Is that correct? Or am I becoming the size of a mustard seed? And then within that, the central channel becomes the size of an atom. So it's a size thing.
Your question is that when we come to the point of subtle yoga where we're shrinking everything, right? Since you have generated since you see yourself as the deity, and since you have to be inside the mandala, you have to be inside the mustard seed, and then we say that we meditate on this tiny drop being at different locations in the body. Since you must have shrunk your body, right? And you imagine how small the central channel is. How can you do this, basically? Rinpoche la ding tanda moran din de shuig do ding di tigle chamo kabla da shelia kan ta hla kangalo kuran su di pe tigle chamo na la zu yores te chene tigle chamo tu tan su su tsa tsa uma na la ne min ja wa ya me na ya ne ya me na me ne ya nin ka te wa te na la da me yores yina ya tambu ne su su hla gombe kabla ya te kabla ya su 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 po su su hla im be gi su bu di nyur tang gore sa nyur tang ne so so tsa ume te na la chong ru tang ne ya tambo su su din re chung chung tang ne su su hla e ku chur tang ne ta tsa ume du di na la di te wa da nyin ka la so ba de ne min ra wa si kha ba yo ba di seria di pe mi si bu ka la ka ku dus ta ti le chamo de na la sha tu sa ma res
Tapena jikarzigo, dendra jikarzu nyinga noa, yirjong rindra dendra thantabka ayose.
Okay. All right. So do this with your finger and look through that. All right. And see if you can see the whole mountain through that little opening. You can see it, right? The mountain is very big. But no matter how small you make the hole, if you look through it, you can still see the whole mountain, yeah?
I think the problem is I think there's no such thing as shrinking. You visualize it from the beginning, in this tiny drop there's
no such thing as shrinking. mūvī nīsūlā yūdīvā tējī sāmbī nōhā shāryā tāng tīyā tā mārī chāngrī tāng nā dhūrī dhūkī vārā vēnā jī sāptātā, zāmlēngu sāptātā jī yīmbā yīnā āchāng chīnā jī kāmbī ngō jī nī tīvā yīnā tī ngō tēlā jākau rī rī sāptā māsī shēntāng jī kā shāngu rī shāngu mārī
Erosha was saying, you know, this whole thing about just shrinking the size of something, you have to understand that because it is a mental process, you can do it, you know, you can fit anything into that. And an example to that, how relative the size can be, is when we start looking at maps, for example, right? So you could have the, let's say, the map of the whole, the map of the world in one little page. You can increase that. You can increase it to the point that, you know, it becomes as big as the building, as the house. And let's say that even one part of the wall, you just have like the map of one single country, right? It's just, does it fit? Can you fit a whole country in that such a big dimension?
Of your own body when you go to the completion stage or you enter the the chakra or the door of the small deity that you have visualized and when you penetrate.
So the question is the small drop, is that placed in the central channel of yourself after you have shrunk yourself, or is it on your on the full size body? And what is like din dishure tigle chamo tsaumenala migores ya tsaume di susu supo churu tane tsaumenala migores yamena susu supo churu matangole ume tsaumenala migores
Tadi rangki chalang ji yin na operation ra ji ti nang la mar asyang tak gu gu rwa. Tadi sang lu tang tang ka chiri ma ta di ti nang la ji zi ra pa di mar dusang ra gu jan na nang la dak gu gu yuwa ma rwa.
Abhishek says, since we are not talking about gross bodies and material bodies, this should not be a problem. Otherwise, you would have to have an operation and have a little thing inserted, implanted into your body. Okay. I think we stop here for the day. Actually, Rinpoche, just the way I phrased the question was that in the beginning we gave this distinction of hearers and solitary arhats and arhats of the great vehicle, and today we talked about the form body and the dharma body, and is this a different classification? And Rinpoche actually just went back into this classification of arhats, and we said we have three levels of arhats. We have arhats which are hearers, solitary realizers, and arhats of the great vehicle, which are the real Buddhas. And when we talk about arhats, we have to understand that they are Arya beings. When we examine Arya beings, we can categorize them in two, those which are learner Aryas and those who are normal learner Aryas. And definitely when you talk about arhats, they have to be on the path of normal learning. So arhats fall in the category of normal learning Aryas. Now,
too confused to check the Dharma. If they do, they come up with the wrong conclusion. Could it be when we're supposed to check the teachings for ourselves? But you already have to be pretty clear, otherwise you'll come up with the wrong conclusion.
Kalodarji nawa ina chu shuwa ina susu de ke male kon la susu tachi che ore sa ina ya mi pe che wa tachi che be kavla chung chang chang ra ra ge du sa kon su se bu ha gu ne chu se bu ha gu men du sa chu ke male kon la susu tachi che ore zina ya susu tez rikpa ngumbu meba, ta serbu meba, takche katsu chena ya, ta seru droga mendoza. Ke laya ta doria de, ta kebar dindri laftuge mendoza.
Ori, da de, karizigo, jika takju jiha se jide, da ju namji ke sherab ke takju jigo go yuwarwa. Takju jingi ke yenjin rao jingi de sherab ke jigo go yuwar. Sherab de ju, karizigo, chenpo rao mea ye na, ที่ได้สองรับก็ยังนะเชื่อว่าก็นามีนั่งว่าที่ทุยเชื่อว่าสามเป็นเชื่อว่ากุมเป็นเชื่อว่าสิจิรุกมังบุยดิ่งที่นั่นนี่แต่ที่นั่นก็มันที่เชื่อว่าตัวยังนี่นั่งว่ารู้ที่หากว่าจีย้อนหลังเตียนนี่ว่าจีได้นามจีก็เชื่อว่าสิจิดียังการุสิโกเชื่อว่าก็รู้แล้วมันทัดดิ่งยังก็อยู่วารีมันทั้งยังก็อยู่วารี ติดกังก็หากว่าจีนว่าแต่ที่นั่นจีก็คนนี้มันทรวงเชื่อว่าจีก็คนนี้ได้ตักจูจีก็อยู่วารีมาตัวจีก็ร้องร้องสู้สู้จีก็ตักจูจีนจีทวายังอยู่อามาเรว่าจีก็นั่นจีก็เชื่อว่าก็ตักจูจีว่าละที่ตักจูจีก็ทับเสียนเราสู้สู้ละมาเรทุ่มเนี่ยทับเสียนที่ต้นที่สู้จีก็มาเรกระสือก็ สามลูกน้องนี่ที่ทบจังจีที่ตักจูจีทั้งเราวัดเราได้ที่ชิโกกุยวารีเป็นอะไรจีการศึกษาเรื่องจีเสวัจิกุชาละวันจีทั้งคงอาทิตย์นั้นทั้งสู้จีโกกุยวารีนะทั้งสู้บัดสู้ยังทั้งสู้จีลูกจีตั้งที่มารจีจังนั้นได้ที่หลังจีทั้งนั้นการศึกษาทั้งสู้จีโกกุยวารีที่นั้นน้องจังก็ทั้งพ่อที่ยังมารจังวันเราวัดทารเช่นนะ
Before you do any examination, of course, you need to have a certain amount of wisdom. Is your wisdom which examines and analyzes? And different people, we have different degrees and different strengths of wisdom. We have talked about different types of wisdom, the wisdom that is derived through hearing, wisdom which is derived through listening, reflecting, wisdom that comes about through meditating, and not all three of them, to begin with, have different strengths. And it is important to understand that, you know, sometimes with the amount of wisdom that is available to yourself, you will make mistakes. If you were capable of increasing or strengthening that wisdom, you could have a different type of wisdom that is not mistaken so often. So it is very important for us to actually receive some sort of external advice for certain subjects that are to be studied, for the method of studying and so forth. It is important to rely on advice of others as well, of course, as trying to develop this, our own power of examination. And what she was saying is, it's very much like the case that the example that was given right before, where we said that you might have something disputed and you end up in the court in front of the judge, and the two lawyers, they have to debate the subject. And if you're a lawyer, you know that it will take you many years to actually find the proper way of debating in the court if you want to have any hope of, you know, winning any trial at all. So if the lawyers actually have to train their minds for many years in order to be able to make the distinction between what is breaking the law and what is within the boundaries of laws, in a similar way, we have to train our minds and we have to strengthen and increase our wisdom. Otherwise, you know, an ordinary person with no training whatsoever, if you give them the task to analyze and decide for themselves what is to be practiced, you know, what teachings they should take on, of course they will make mistakes.
So
So the actual advice that was given by the Buddhas was, you know, do not accept my teachings without testing them. You have to test them and analyze them the same way you would analyze gold before you buy it. First of all, you would rub it, then you would burn it, finally you would cut it to make sure that it doesn't possess any impurities, that it is, you know, pure gold and so forth. So similarly, in our minds, we need to go through different levels of examinations. And going back into that example of the corn, Ramsey is saying, you know, sometimes you have a case and it might go through, I don't know exactly what the term is, but let's say a lower court. And then if it is not decided there or if the decision does not suit you, you still have the right to appeal and take it to a higher court. And again, you know, the case is examined further in a more extensive way, and even if that is not you know, good enough, then you can take it even in the highest court and have a more thorough investigation. So this is how we should do from outside. We should analyze on different levels as much as we can.
And Rinpoche
is saying it's actually according to the gravity of the situation, the importance of the case, that we send it into different courts. If it is a small defense, a small matter, it can go into one of the lower courts. But if it's, you know, a really important case, you know, it doesn't go into one of the smaller courts, but it goes into the higher or even the highest court. Okay, one more, because you're doing this more time.
Tonight Rinpoche was talking about the purity, and Rinpoche said that at the eighth ground and above, they've eliminated a lot of afflictions and stains from the mind. And I was wondering, what is considered to be the final affliction that is eliminated before arriving at the level of Buddhahood?
Right, so when we go through this process of purification where we are eliminating different stains of the mind or negativities of the mind, we move from the grosser to the more subtle. And eventually we come to the level of imprints. Imprints are considered to be the most subtle and the most difficult to remove of those obscurations and stains. So the last things you would be abandoning is the imprints of stains of the mind. Ramsha gave the example of the garlic, the smell of garlic that lingers. If you have garlic in a small pot, now to remove the garlic is the easy part, but to get rid of the smell of the garlic, you might have to wash that bowl a number of times. So it is like trying to remove the imprints. It's very subtle, but it stays there. I think it's about time to go. Yeah. All right, we stop here for today.
Oh, Sambo jo jara rabdhe mo